Morning. Today's daf nidas ches. We are in Zayin Amud Beis. We are in the bottom of the Amud. My Kamashmalan is where we're going to be starting this morning. Three lines from the bottom. Mishnah brought in yesterday a machlokus amongst the Tanaim regarding the principle of Dain Shaitan. A woman who sees herself at the beginning of her nidas, and do we move back her tumma retroactively for the last 24 hours? So machlokus amongst the Tanayim in terms of who is given this special status of Dain Shaitan. So according to Shammai, the first mission of the Masechta, every woman. Okay, but that's the Shita of Shammai. The Shita of the Chachamim is that we go back retroactively 24 hours. Now the next mission that we did yesterday, Dav Zayin, taught us that there is a machlokus amongst the Tanayim in terms of who is afforded the special status of Dain Shaitan and does not have to go back 24 hours. And in the Mishnah, a lot of Tanaim got involved in this discussion. Rabbi Eliezer said that four women who are Mislekes Damim, who have an abeyance of blood, so they are given the status of Dain Shaitan, the Basula, Mu'ubaris, Menikah, V'Zekena. Rabbi Yeshua says he only heard one of the four. The Mishnah the Mishnah then went over each one of the four, what exactly the definition of each one of these four. We're going to come back to that a little bit later on this morning. The Mishnah then brought in the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that any woman who has experienced three menstrual cycles where they did not see blood is going to enjoy the status of Dain Shaitan. And Rabbi Yossi limits it only to Me'uberes Menika, the woman who is pregnant or nursing, and only when these women have missed three menstrual cycles. So the Mishnah had a lot of time to get involved in this discussion of who is afforded the special status of Dain Shaitan. Yesterday we noted that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, the town of our Mishnah, who we learned yesterday was a Shemuti, exactly what that means, Rashi and Tosfos debate. But Rabbi Eliezer says that the Gemara says that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. And not only does the halacha fall like Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah, there are other places where the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. And so, second half of yesterday's daf, we went through four places in Shas where the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So one is over here, in terms of which women are going to have the status of Dain Shaitan. A second one is coming up later in our Masechta, regarding a woman who is at the end of her pregnancy, has already had her nidus at the end of pregnancy, and was a zava towards her end of pregnancy. And a question becomes, she bled in three consecutive days, is that dam ziva or is that dam leida? And so, without going back into the details, so it is a question of defining the blood, and Rabbi Eliezer has a shita which is followed. And just, I'll say it outside, but I won't give it much explanation right now, is that if she bled for three consecutive days while having labor pains, but then she had 24 hours of respite from the labor pain, so then Rabbi Eliezer says we're going to go back and look at those three consecutive days as dam ziva, not as dam leida, and therefore when in fact she does give birth, she's going to have to not only bring a carbon for her leida, she's also going to have to bring a carbon for her ziva as well. A third area is bedika shivanakim. Zava and zava have to count shivanakim, seven clean days. They have to do a bedika. Principally, they should be doing a bedika every one of those seven clean days. They do a bedika only on day one and day seven. How do you count that? That too is a machlokus, and the Gemara says we're going to paskin like Rabbi Eliezer. The Rabbi Eliezer says that she is becheskas tahara. Even though she should have done a bedika between days one and day seven, we're going to assume that day one was clean, day seven is clean, the interim days are clean as well. And the fourth area where the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer is a chori kelim. Chori kelim where the back of the kli becomes tamei through contact with a liquid. We already mentioned yesterday that this is unusual, that's not how tumah works. And as we learned yesterday, this is a gzera derabanan. The idea that the back of a kli can become tamei, and only the back of the kli can become tamei through the contact of mashkim, which are tamein. Okay, but anyway, the degree of tumah of the back of the kli, so it's a machlokus amongst the tanaim, and here too we're going to be following like Rabbi Eliezer. As I mentioned in the end of yesterday's daf, those are the four areas. So I said, end of yesterday's daf, everyone make a simple observation. Happens to be that these four areas where we pass on like Rabbi Eliezer happens to be all in the world of Tumah Tahara. Meaning, we're in Seder Taharas right now. Nida is the only, for Daf Yomi, the only time we're going to be learning Seder Taharas. But these four areas all happen to be areas within Seder Taharas. state of Taharas. Two of them are in Masech Danida. One is an issue regarding Zavin, and the other one is an issue regarding Taharas. They're all within Seder Taharas. By the way, within Seder Taharas, there's also Mishnayos Taharas. So that could be a little bit confusing. But anyway, so my Kamash Malan. So then now, as we are picking up right where we left off yesterday, and the Gemara continues the discussion. So my Kamash Malan Shmuel. So Shmuel told us the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So if you go over every one of the Mishnayos and the Brises that we saw yesterday, so you will notice that in every one of the cases, actually the Mishnah or the Brisa already told us the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. You can even look at the very top line of the Amud, where it's, I'm quoting from the Mishnah, of a halacha ka Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, the Mishnah already told us that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. And if you look at those other three areas, which we quoted from yesterday, you'll see that either the Mishnah or the Brisa is telling us the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer. Tanan hilchasa, v'chitem achare kem kamash malan. Well, maybe it was number four. Number four, we didn't have any indication that halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So, okay, so the Gemara says, that's fine. So then why doesn't Shmuel limit his remarks to and tell us that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer on the topic of Achari Kalim, the back of Kalim? Why did he have to tell us that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer in these four circumstances? Ella, hakamash malan shein lemeid malacha mipi tamud. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what Shmuel has offered for us. And that is a very, very big principle, that you do not learn halacha from Talmud. Okay? Ein lemeidim halacha mipi Talmud. Now, you have to understand that the Gemara over here is saying Talmud. So when the Gemara says Talmud, meaning we call Talmud the Gemara. But what is when the Gemara is saying Talmud, what is the Gemara making reference to? Take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. This is a really important discussion in terms of paskening halacha. Hakamash malam midistrich lemeimar luhu halacha shma mina de'in lemeidim halacha mipi Talmud. Mitoch haMishnah uBraisa sheshnuy b'em halacha keploni. Even if a Mishnah or a Braisa were to tell us that the halacha was so and like so and so, ain lameida mehen. That does not tell us that the halacha is like so and so. I know it's counterintuitive, but that's exactly the big idea of our Gemara, what our Gemara is teaching us. And Rashi goes on to explain. Shamarayim achronin diktuku b'tamei atanayim. Because what the Amarim's job was to understand the Tanayim. Ve'emido halacha al burya. And the Amoraim's responsibility is after to sift and distill through all the opinions of the Tanaim, the Amoraim going to tell us who to follow like. Aval ha-Rishonim lo diktiku ish b'divrei chavero. Now, as far as the Rishonim are concerned, now, you have to read the Rashi in context. Rashi over here, when talking about the Rishonim, he meant the earlier generations. Who are the earlier generations above the Amoraim? Obviously, the Tanaim. But when it comes to the Tanaim, lo diktiku ish b'divrei chavero. They didn't synthesize all the various opinions. Ella kol echad masha shama mirabo melam delatamido shmua. What they did simply is they just passed on the Mesorah. I say simply, meaning obviously all this is fundamental. But they passed the Mesorah on from what they received from the Rebbeim onwards. But they didn't synthesize other people's positions. Kamoshihi vehi haisa nikra mishnah ubraisa. And that's what's called mishnah and braisa. And as far as explaining their position, so each one explains their positions. And whenever they gave any kind of explanation to their position, so that's what's called Talmud. Meaning Talmud, says Rashi, in this context means where a Tana offers a position, and after offering a position, when I say offers a position, again, and, right, this Rashi is so fundamental, meaning he received a position that from his Rebbeim, he's saying it over now, and now after he said it over, now he'll try to explain it. And even when the Mishnah says, and the halacha falls like him, that's just simply within the context of that particular Tana offering a particular opinion, and then when the Mishnah says that the halacha falls like them, that just simply is an attempt to understand that position, but not to synthesize it amongst all the other opinions. So, when Tanaim offer opinions, so what they're offering are the Mesorah they receive from the Rebbeim and passing it forward. And when even in the Mishnah and the Braisa says the halacha is like so-and-so, that's not a synthesis of all the opinions. That's just simply a limitation of one Tana espousing a viewpoint and trying to understand the viewpoint that he himself espoused. It's only when you get to the period of the Amoraim, where the Amoraim took everyone's opinion, synthesized everyone's opinion and comes out now with a halacha amongst all the opinions. So when in a Mishnah or a Braisa says halacha's like so-and-so, that doesn't mean that's the halacha. That's just an attempt to understand that particular opinion within that particular Mishnah. Okay, so now with all that stated, now we understand that when Shmuel says halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer in all these cases, that's important, that's critical, because Shmuel now is operating not like a Tana, but obviously like an Amora. Okay, that is point number one for today, a really important point. Vesuleka, the Gemara continues now, as we are on the very bottom of Zayin Amud Beis. Vesuleka Vaika, the Gemara says, now these are not the only four circumstances where we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer. And Shmuel's comment over here makes it sound like these are the only four circumstances. But the Gemara says, but there are more. We teach the Katana to do Miyan. Over here, we're talking about a very serious, a very limited circumstance and a little bit complicated. Not terribly complicated. And that is where you have two brothers marrying two sisters. Of the two brothers marrying the two sisters, one sister was a Gedola, the other sister was a Katana. Now, a Katana getting married, if she had a father, so the father marries her off, and that's a Nisuin Daraisa. There was no father. So either her mother or her brother married her off. That's Nisuin Darabana, not Nisuin Daraisa. Now, there is an opportunity for that Katana, when she gets to the age of 12, to do what's called Mi'un. Mi'un just basically is a refusal of the marriage. Because the marriage institution was a Din Darabana, so she has the ability to uproot the marriage altogether. It is the closest thing we have to what secular world is called an annulment. Not secular world, but not the best way to say it. But you understand. It is an annulment. It's an annulment of the marriage. So this is what's called mian. And so mian is done when? Only very limited circumstance. Only when a girl, a minor girl, is being married off either by her mother or by her brother. So she has this opportunity for mian, and only a one-time opportunity when she turns 12 years of age. She can do mian. So, in the circumstance where I have two brothers that are married, and one's married to the older, and the other married to the younger, through Nisuin Derabanan, and what happens is that the husband of the older has now died. And now, his sister-in-law is coming to him through Yibum. But it's his sister-in-law, and she's also his sister-in-law. Okay, slightly confusing, but really not. Meaning it's his brother's wife, but it's also his sister's, but it's also his wife's sister. So now, here comes the problem. The problem is that he can't do the mitzvah of Yibum because she's an erva to him. And not just a shesach, but also achos ishto. Now that she's a sister to him, now that she's an erva to him, so he can't do Yibum with her. So, is there a solution? Yes, it's not a romantic solution. So everyone please, if it offends you romantically, okay, slight apologies, but it's not a romantic solution. What we'll do under these circumstances is that we'll have his current wife, who's a minor, do miyun, totally uprooting the marriage between him and his wife, and now he can do the mitzvah of Yibum with his sister-in-law. And why would that be preferential? Because his current marriage is only a din derabanan. His marriage to his sister-in-law, when he performs the mitzvah of Yibum, will be a din daraisa, a kiyum daraisa. So just weighing those two options, so then this would be a solution. And is this a solution? Not only is it a solution, Rabbi Lazar says, this is the way to go. This is the way to approach the situation. So this is Rabbi Lazar Omer. I'm just rereading the Mishnah in Yevamos. And here we go, where Shmuel says, Allah falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So why in our Gemara here in Nida do we say there are four times we pass like Rabbi Lazar, and meanwhile, there's a fifth time in Yevamos. So, ki amar shmo lach k'rab elazar b'dalid b'seder taharos. Ava b'shar sederim ikatuva. Responds the Gemara that Rabbi Eliezer was only limiting the four times that we passed him like, Shmuel was limiting the four times that we passed him like Rabbi Eliezer only within seder taharos. Yes, there are five other sederim and shas, and amongst the five other sederim and shas, there are other times where we passed him like Rabbi Eliezer, but here in seder taharos, four times. Which now, by the way, explains beautifully that you noticed, we made the observation yesterday. The four times all happened to be within Seder Taharas. V'hachinami mistabra, and the Gemara says, and I'll tell you why, it makes sense. Didnan, Rebbe Lazar, Omer, Afa, Rod, Devinosein, Lasal, Hasal, Mitzarfa, Lachala. Because consider there's the following discussion / debate in the Mishnayos in Chala. In order to be chayv in the mitzvah of Chala, Farshas Chala, you have to make a certain amount of dough. Right, I think nowadays the 5 pounds of flour. Okay, it has to be a certain amount of dough in order to get to the chiv of challah. Anyway, the what? Let's say you make dough, but it's not enough for the mitzvah of challah. So, but I make other doughs as well. What exactly, when do the doughs are mitzarif, when do they combine to get to the shear, to the requisite shear? So there's an opinion over there in the Mishnah and Challah where they only combine when they were put together as dough. In other words, so I had one small piece, another small piece, but I clumped them together as dough. Yeah. The other opinion, the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer over there in the Mishnah and Challah, is no, even after they're baked. If after they're baked, they're put into a basket, so baked bread in a basket can be mitzarif for the mitzvah of Challah. That's the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, and we follow that position. Oh, so what do we have over here? Another occasion where Shmuel tells us Allah is like Rabbi Lezer. Now that's in Seder Zerayim. That's Mishnah Yitzchala. So again, now it shows us very clearly that we are the four circumstances of Rabbi Lezer are limited only to here meaning Seder Taharas. So Shmamina. Umay ume dahai mehai. So the Gemara says, now, as far as the Mishnah Challah is concerned, the why, when we were making our argument, did we point to the Mishnah in Yevamos and not point to the Mishnah Challah? I mean, didn't we just, aren't we making the same exact point using the Mishnah Challah? So the Gemara says, Mishum dekai Rebbe Lazar kavase, ditnan Rebbe Lazar omrem lamdem as a katana shetema'in bo. So the Gemara says, because it's not only the sheet of Rebbe Eliezer, but it's also the sheet of Rebbe Lazar. Now, I'll try to clarify and say the Gemara as clearly as possible. Right now, we are operating with not just one Tana, but two Tanaim who have very similar names. We have the Tana Rebbe Eliezer, who is who we are focusing on for this morning. And we're also adding on top of that another Tana by the name of Rebbe Elazar, without the Yud. Okay, and just to make it a slightly more confusing, but I'm going to clear it up right now, there's also an Amora by the name of Rebbe Elazar, who happens to be part of our discussion as well today. So I understand that part gets a little confusing. But in the meantime, however, the point the Gemara is making now is as follows. In the on the Mion front, and the two brothers marrying the two sisters, and the Gedolah and the Katana, and that whole scenario, not only is it the opinion of Rebbe Eliezer, but it's also the opinion of Rebbe Lazar as well. Now, the two cases over there in the Gemara and Yavamas is not exactly the same. And right now, I'm not going to go through the subtle differences between the case of Rebbe Eliezer and the case of Rebbe Elazar. And the Gemara over there in Yavamos, I'm giving us the short version of this discussion. The Gemara in Yavamos says that they're both actually necessary. And so this is not just each Tana repeating the other one, but actually the two positions over there are independent of one another. And I need both of the Tanaim to say it. So Elam Yishub Dekai Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava Kavaseh. The Gemara says that Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava does in fact follow like Rebbe Eliezer on the topic of Mian. D'tanya, the Gemara says, consider the following brisa. Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava, hey Devarim. Rebbe Yehuda Ben Bava teaches us five things. It testifies about five things. Number one, Shemamanim Es HaKitanos. That Mian is done with the Katana. Meaning, in a scenario where Mian would be halachically advantageous, like we described on the top of the Amud. So then, not only are we going to do Mia, but we're actually going to encourage her to do Mian. Number two, Shemasina Seishap Eidechad. Eidechad. The husband goes away, the husband didn't come back, and only one person testifies about his death. So we're going to allow his marriage to allow his widow to marry. Number three, Sheniskal Tanagobi Shalem Al Shaharagas and Efesh. The halacha is that if an animal kills a person, then animal is put to death through skila. The Torah gives a scenario of an ox killing a person. What if it's not an ox? What if it's a chicken? A chicken can kill a person? Sure. In Yerushalayim, it was an unfortunate incident where the chicken took the life of a baby. Chicken pecked at the baby's head, killed the baby, and the chicken was, in fact, executed. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that the Torah only gives a scenario of an ox. I didn't know. I wouldn't necessarily have known that it's any animal that kills, and what we're learning together is that it's any animal that it kills. And also wine. How old does the wine have to be in order to be eligible to be used for nisur chayayin, 40 days old? And the morning tami could be offered bidal shaus, the first four hours in the morning. When we get back to Masechta Brachos, which is not that long from now, so we will be learning together the Machlokas HaTanayim, which we all know, in terms of when the Tamish HaShachris can be offered up until. Anyway, those are five areas. As far as we're concerned, we're interested in the first of the five, which is that we are going to encourage miyun if it's halachically advantageous. My ketanos lav chada de Rebbe El Azar v'chada de Rebbe Eliezer. Now, if you look carefully at what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava just said, he says memanin es haketanos. He said it in the plural. Why did he say in the plural? Because one is to for the case of Rabbi Eliezer, and the other is for the case of Rabbi El Azar. And even though those two positions are independent of one another, nevertheless, he's saying the halacha falls like both. So my ketanos ketanos da'amos. The Gemara says, I'm sorry, lo. My ketanos ketanos da'amos. So the Gemara pushes back. Ketanos could just simply mean generally younger girls, but he wasn't talking about two different halachic situations. So the Gemara says, well, if that's true regarding a woman, so why doesn't it say nashim? And
singular.
Right? If we wanted to just to simply talk about women, so he should have said nashim. And we could have said nashim da'ama, women in general. So the Gemara says in one place it said isha, in another place it said ketanos. So by virtue of the fact that the Braisos were very clear about saying it in the singular versus saying it in the plural, that meant, look at case number two of Rav Yehuda ben Bava. Masian esa isha. So it's clear that when he said the word ketanos, he meant it in the plural, because he was talking about a plurality of scenarios, i.e. the case of Rabbi Eliezer and the case of Rabbi Elazar. Okay, when all said and done, where have we landed on all this? Where we landed now is that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer in four cases, according to Shmuel, but only four cases that are specific to Seder Taharos. You go outside of Seder Taharos, the halacha could follow like Rabbi Eliezer on other scenarios. In fact, not only could, it does. In Yavamos, in Chala, the halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer in the two cases that we cited above. Ad Kan. The Gemara is going to now pick it up, continuing this discussion, but now starting with a different Amara. Up until now, we were dealing with Shmuel. Now we're going to deal with a different Amara. The Amara's name is Rabbi Elazar. Now, I told you it's going to get a little bit confusing because it's Rabbi Elazar commenting on Rabbi Eliezer. And also he's commenting on Rabbi Elazar. So, but this is Rabbi Elazar, the Amara. In fact, over here, it got all confusing that Rashi at this point in time just names names. If you look at Rashi, V'chinam Rav Elazar ad Shmuel kai. He's really commenting on Shmuel. The Amora hu, and this Rav Elazar is an Amora. The hu Rav Elazar ben Pedas. This is none other than Rav Elazar ben Pedas. Rav Elazar de Miun Tanahu. The Rebbe Elazar of Miun that we discussed just a little bit earlier this morning. That's a Tana, and that's Rav Elazar ben Shamua. Okay. Now that we got all of our Rav Elazar straightened out, so now we're quoting Rav Elazar the Amora. And he says the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer Bedalit. Visu Leka, the Gemara now is going to have the same exact discussion, so we're going to do this quickly. And there are no other scenarios. Vatanan, the Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Melamdim Esa Ketana Shetama Imbo. What about the Miyun? V'amar Rav Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer. And here we have, by Mesorah, that Rabbi Elazar tells us that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. V'chitim k'yama Rabbi Elazar halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer Bedalit B'seir Taros Ava B'shar Sidrei Ika. And maybe what you'll argue with me is that Rabbi Elazar's statement that the halacha only follows like four cases of Rabbi Eliezer is only limited to Seder Taharos, but no other Sedarim. Now, all this sounds familiar because that's exactly what the Gemara argued on behalf of Shmuel. And maybe Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, agrees. Well, me, Ikavatran, the Gemara says, but I don't think you're right about that. Why? Because consider the following Mishnah. Haver v'akofer v'halatus v'aketaf yeshlem shvius u'l'demeim shvius. So, various flowers and spices, all right? Rose, henna, and then whatever latus is. Sorry, and kitaf. Kitaf is either going to be the sap of balsam or it's going to be the resin of a balsam tree. In any of these cases, yesham shvius lo demeim shvius. They are subject to the Shemitah law. Now, we know that Shemitah applies to the fruit of a tree, peiro shvius. What we are saying over here is that when a tree doesn't produce a fruit, but it produces something that we make use of, that in halacha is considered the fruit. And so, therefore, these items are subject to peiro shvius. And yeshlam bir, l'demein bir, and also they're subject to bir. Once the fruit is no longer out in the field, after season is over, So then the fruit have to be destroyed. Exactly what destroyed means. Machlokus amongst the Rishonim. Rambam and Raiva debate exactly what Bior is. Anyway. V'amara padas mantana katfa pere. Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Rapadat has taught us that as far as the resin of the balsam tree being considered a fruit, that is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. V'am Rabbi Zera Chazi. And Rabbi Zera says the following. You know what we just did? We put what we learned together in that Mishnah Shviyas, together with what you just taught us, and we're going to come out with a tremendous kula. What a leniency. Chazu deminachu mi avucha, between you and your father, kasharisu katfa la'alma. You permitted the use of the resin from the balsam tree during the Shemitah year. Why? Because antamart mantana bedalid. Sorry, mantana ketafa peri Rabbi Lazar. Because you told us that the idea that the resin is considered a fruit—that's the opinion of Rabbi Lazar. Vavucha amar alachik Rabbi Lazar bedalid. And your father, right? Remember, the Rabbi Lazar ben Pedas, and your father said the. And by the way, the Pedas over here is the son of Rabbi Lazar, right? He named his son after his father. Anyway, and your father said that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer only on four circumstances, and only these four circumstances. Okay, so now, let's put everything together. I know there's a lot of moving parts to this Gemara, but basically what comes out is as follows. We have just said that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer, only on four cases, and no other cases. We have also learned together the Mishnah Shviyas that says that the resin of a balsam tree is considered a fruit. The resin of the balsam tree is subject to Peir Shviyas and the Isser of Shviyas. On the other hand, the idea that resin has a status of a fruit, that is the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer. And since we've limited the only times that we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer on four areas, and this not being one of them, so that means now that we can reject the Mishnah and Shviyas out of hand, meaning it's not a halachically halachic conclusion, and so therefore the use of resin during the Shemitah year would be allowed. Now this entire argument is predicated on the fact that we only pass on like Rabbi Eliezer in these four circumstances and no other circumstances. Now remember what we did with Shmuel? We said by Shmuel, no, it just means the four times in Seder Taharos. But none other areas in Shas. Now over here, the Gemara does not make such an argument on behalf of the Amora Rabbi Eliezer. And now the Gemara is going to make exactly that point. V'imi salei malachi amar ava halachik Rabbi Eliezer bedalid b'seder taharos ava b'shar sidrei ika. And why don't we just make the same exact argument? So elakasha hayhi mishum dekai Rabbi Eliezer kavasei. So the Gemara says, now what are you going to do about Yevamos? Because in the case of Yevamos, you know, we do pasken like Rabbi Eliezer, to which the Gemara says, no, we're not pasken like Rabbi Eliezer, because remember, like we said earlier this morning, it's not just Rabbi Eliezer who took that position regarding Mion, it was also the Tana Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer, Dekai Rabbi Eliezer Kavasei, did not Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Malam de Mesekatana Shetamayim Bo. And the Gemara goes back to make the same point that we made earlier. Wait one second. They're not exactly the same position. As we discussed earlier, there are subtle differences between the case of Rabbi Eliezer and the case of Rabbi Eliezer. And because of those subtle differences, so they're not exactly the same. And they are not interdependent one on the other. The cases are independent one of the other. So Elamishum Dika Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava Kavasei. So the Gemara says, you're right, but the Rabbi Eliezer of Mion is supported by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. So the case of Mion is not exclusively Rabbi Eliezer. It's not that we're passing like Rabbi Eliezer. It happens to be that he also is agreed to either by Rabbi Eliezer, although that's a controversial point, but certainly by Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Okay. Vistu like of Atanan, the Gemara says now. So here's what we're saying now. That this idea that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer only in four places in Shas, according to Shmuel, it doesn't mean all of Shas. It means only Seder Taharos. According to the Amora Rabbi Eliezer, it actually means all of Shas. All of Shas. Fine. To which now the Gemara is going to push back on Rabbi Eliezer. V'su Lake Vatanan, the Gemara now takes us to the Mishnayos in Brachos. The Mishnayos in Brachos is discussing the additional bracha you make on Motzei Shabbos, where we are making a havdalah distinction between Shabbos and Chol. Rabbi Kiva Omer bracha revis bifne atzma. Rabbi Kiva says that the fourth bracha is said bifne atzma independently, and it is not included in Chonein Hadas, the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei. Obviously, we include it in the fourth bracha of Shmona Esrei. But according to Rabbi Kiva, it's an independent bracha. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer Omer Bahodam. And Rabbi Eliezer says that that you insert it into the bracha of Ritzei. The Amar Rev Elazar, and here we go, the Amora Rev Elazar teaches us, Halacha Kerebi Eliezer, that the Halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer. So here we are far away from Seder Taharos. We're in Seder Zrayim. We're Masechta Brachos. On the topic of Atachon Antanu, where should be added in Shmona Esrei? And the Amora Rebbe Elazar tells us that the Halacha falls like Rebbe Eliezer. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Abba, Ahud Amar Mishum Rebbe Chanina Ben Gamliel D'Tanya. And again, the Gemara's response is basically going to be, it's not just Rebbe Eliezer. There are others who say that as well. And so Rebbe Elazar, the Amora, is only passing that way because of the corroboration of other Tanayim. And the Gemara goes on to point out the time we learned from the following verse: Rabbi Kiva Omer Omer Bracha Revis Bifnei Atzma. Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel Omer Omer Behoda'a. There you have it. Another Tana who says this position: VeHakashish Minei Tuva. Now the Gemara says one second. So the Rabbi, we're putting together side by side Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel. Now in terms of generations, so Rabbi Eliezer lived when? So take a look at the top Rashi. On the Amud, Rabbi Eliezer lived during the life of Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Shimon. Right? Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Right? Father, son. And Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Shimon, who was killed during Haruge Machos. And so we have now Rabbi Eliezer being considerably older than Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, a generation older. So the Gemara says, "El mishum dekai Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel b'shita se." So the Gemara says, "Okay, you're right." In other words, we clarified now generations, but the point hasn't changed. There's still the same point. By virtue of the fact that there are other Tanaim who corroborate with the position of Rabbi Eliezer, that's why Rabbi Lazar rules like him in that circumstance, but not to do with the. It's not just because exclusively it's Rabbi Eliezer. Yeah. By the way, I said Ritzei, which, and I was wrong. I meant Modim.
Right, okay. But they're different. But that's not what Rabbi.
Now Rabbi Eliezer does say Hoda. Look back at the previous Mishnah, right? Rabbi Eliezer Omer Omra beHoda, and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer Omra beHoda. So the corroboration is between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel.
But that's
the sheet of Rabbi Kiva. The idea that Rabbi Elazar the Amora is passing like Rabbi Eliezer is because there are others who agree with that position. That's the point of the Gemara. Okay. Umi kai v'hatanya, the Gemara is not done yet. There's still more on the exclusivity of passing like Rabbi Eliezer. We are describing now the Shmona Esrei of Yom Kippur. So there are a lot of them. Five to be honest. We're going to add a six. We're not adding anything. There's a lot of Shmona Esrei to speak about in Yom Kippur. So we'll start with, just do this outside first, and then I'll read it inside quickly. We'll start with Maariv, Shmona Esrei number one. Then the next morning you wake up, you go back to Shul. We just did this. I know. We just went through this. So you go back to Shul, and then the Shacharis. And then Musaf. Then Mincha. Then Ne'ilah. Okay, those of you keeping score, that's five. What's the next Shmona Esrei? Maariv. Right, Maariv. And so, needless to say, by Maariv, so we're exhausted. So, as we're going to see together now, there is an opinion in amongst the Tanaim that you know what we should do for Maariv? We should do like an edited version of Maariv. I know it sounds like something like you would hear in Shul. Like, you know, somebody would make a joke. Like, you know, let's cut this one down. It's not a joke. It's actually an opinion amongst the Tanaim that basically for Maariv on Motzei Yom Kippur, like, you know, let's... It's been a long day. So... Right. So v'hatanya, the Gemara quotes the following brisa, or Yom Kippurim, or of course means night. You know how it works. euphemisms. Okay, or Yom Kippur Mispal Sheva Mizvade. So you say Shmoneh Esrei, but it's not Shmoneh Esrei, it's seven brachos. And Vidui. And Shacharis Mispal Sheva Mizvade. Musaf Mispal Sheva Mizvade. Mincha Mispal Sheva Mizvade. Bini'ilah Mispal Sheva Mizvade. Okay, so far so good. Ba'arvis Mispal Sheva Me'ein Shmoneh Esrei. And the Tanakhama says that for Mariv Amotze Yom Kippur, so make it a shorter Mariv. And what you're going to do is that you'll say the first three brachas, you'll say the last three brachas. And so for the middle brachas, there is a bracha called Havinenu. We're going to see it together in Masechta Brachas. Old school Siddurim used to publish Havinenu in their Siddur. I don't think the more modern Siddurim put in Havinenu. I could be wrong about that. All right, you could fact check. I should fact check. Anyway, the Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Mishum Avosav Omer Mispal Shmoneh Esrei Min Mishav Tzarech Lomer Havdalah B'Chonei Nadas. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel says, look, I love the sentiment. I love the idea. But you know what? We have a halachic problem. And that is, we need to say Atachon Antanu. And so because of Atachon Antanu, so we're going to have to say the full Shmoneh Esrei. It's funny, just the way it sounds, it's like, I'm not philosophically opposed to the idea. It's just that we have that technical problem of Atachon Antanu. So Amar of Nachman Ar Yitzchak, Iu Amar Mishum Avosav Alelo Sfirle. So the Gemara says, okay, now you're a little bit confused, aren't you? Because on the bottom of the previous Amar, Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel says, say it in Modim. And now we just quote a Braisa that says, well, you're not saying it in Modim, but rather you're saying it within the central, the middle brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, no. The Braisa that we just quoted, he wasn't espousing his own viewpoint. He's telling us what he heard in the name of his fathers. Okay. Amalei Rav Yirmiyahu LeRabbi Zera V'Adlo Tizbara D'man Tana Katva Peirei. Okay, so after all said and done, let me just do a quick summary and organize all this information because, quite frankly, a lot of information was just thrown at us. Rabbi Eliezer of our Mishnah here in Nida says that the woman who is considered a dying shaita, not may say, does not go back retroactively 24 hours, is four women who are Mesulek as Damim. Besula, Muberes, Menika, Zekena. So those are the four women who are dying shaitan, and not Mesulek as Damim. The Gemara opened up the discussion yesterday's daf with a statement by Shmuel that the halacha falls like Rabbi Eliezer in our Mishnah and three other circumstances, and those three other cases happen to be within Seder Taharos. What we concluded is that within the sheet of Shmuel, he only meant within Seder Taharos, the halacha falls like these four, and in Gantz Shas, and the other five Siddurim of Shas, there are other times where the halacha goes like Rabbi Eliezer. We talked about a case in Mion. We talked about a case in Shavuos. Good. We had almost a duplicate discussion in the Gemara regarding the Amor Rebbe Lazar, where he too said that the halacha falls like Rebbe Eliezer in these four cases. However, the noted difference between Shmuel and Rebbe Lazar is that according to Rebbe Lazar, he actually meant Gan Shas. He meant the entirety of Shas and all of Shas. The halacha falls like Rebbe Eliezer only in these four cases. Aren't there other cases where the halacha falls like Rebbe Lazar? Only because there was corroboration amongst other Tanayim. Okay, that's the entire Gemara, without all the details. But that's a summary of the entire Gemara. We mentioned resin of the tree during the Shemitah. We described it as being a fruit product of the tree, and therefore subject to Peirush Shvi'is. That was the Mishnah we learned earlier this morning in Shvi'is, in the seventh parak in Shvi'is. Remember on the Amud Aleph, halfway down the Amud, the Mishnah over there, Vered, Kofer, Latus, Kataf, Yeshlem, Shvi'is, L'demeim, Shvi'is, Yeshlem, Bir, L'demeim, Bir. Okay? And then it was a discussion of whether or not the Kataf is considered a fruit of the tree. The Mishnah certainly regards it as a fruit of the tree. The Gemara now, as long as we brought up that topic, the Gemara wants to come back to that topic. So, So let's pick it up from there. V'Adlo Tizbro. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah. Thank you. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Zera, V'Adlo Tizbro, Deman Tana Katfa Pere, Rabbi Lazahu. So the Gemara says that the idea that resin is considered a fruit product, that is, in fact, Rabbi Lazar. V'Atran, let's consider now another Mishnah. And the Mishnah reads as follows. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Hamamid Bisraf Arla Asr. Hamamid Bisraf Arla Asr. Okay. We're doing the following. We're trying to curdle the milk. So we have enzymes in which we're going to curdle the milk. So back in the day, so what served as a wonderful enzyme in terms of curdling the milk would be the sap that comes from a tree. So sap that comes from the tree was a fantastic way of of being mamid, of basically making cheese out of milk. And if I use the sap that comes from Arla after you plant a tree for the first 3 years of its tree, if it produces any fruit, that fruit is Arla. Aser ba'achila, aser ba'hana'a. And so if I'm taking the sap of the balsam tree, I'm using it from an Arla tree, so what it's ma'amid, that which it ferments and curdles, so that's going to be aser. And so this is a Mishnah in Arla. So you see over here that this idea that the sap is considered a fruit is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Mishnah in Arla identifies it as being Rabbi Elazar. It seems like there's really nothing to talk about. To which the Gemara says, not necessarily. I feel the So now the Gemara is going to make a subtle difference between kataf and kataf. Meaning there's kataf and then there's kataf. There's kataf of the tree and there's kataf of the fruit. Kataf of the tree is the resin, right? The that white powdery stuff that's, you know, that you find over there. So that is that considered a fruit product of the tree? That's debatable. But when we're talking about the kataf of the fruit, otherwise known as the sap of the fruit, so that's a fruit product according to everybody. The Gemara says, so that's a distinction we can make. Ditnan. And the Gemara says, and I'll make this case. I'm Rabbi Yeshua Shamata Befer Shamami Bistrafa Alin Bistrafa Ikarin Mutter. Rabbi Yeshua says that I heard the following, and that is that if you ferment using either the sap that comes from the leaf, which really we mean the resin, or the sap that comes from the roots, so that would be okay. Because that's not considered a fruit product. However, bistrafa pagin, aser b'mnei shupri, but if I take the sap from the unripened fig of an arla tree, so that is considered a fruit product, and therefore it's going to be aser. Okay. Important, by the way, which I didn't say in the beginning before we learned the Mishnah in Arla, I assumed everybody knew it, but it's not too late to clarify. The Isser of Arla is not on the tree, only on the fruit. Okay, I think we all knew that, but I have an opportunity to clarify. And that means to say then that if something is considered a fruit, so then it's subject to Arla. If it's just a branch, if it's a leaf, if it's just part of the tree, it's not subject to the Isser of Arla. So what we're debating, deliberating, is the resin that comes off of the tree. Is that considered a fruit product?
If you plant that resin, you don't get another tree. Why is that considered a fruit?
Yeah, right. So I assume it's because you get some sort of benefit out of it. You can use it as some sort of food product. Okay, that would be the argument. Another way to say it's like this. The Chachamim argue with Rabbi Eliezer, but that's only if the tree produces another type of fruit. However, if the only product that comes from this particular tree is resin, and there's no other fruit, so then maybe the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Elazar that the resin that's produced, since it's the only usable product that the tree produces, so therefore it's going to be considered a fruit. Did not, and the Gemara is going to support this argument, Rabbi Shimon Amar, Ein l'ketaf shvius, v'chachamim omrim, yesh l'ketaf shvius, mibnei sheketefu zuhu piryo. Oh, so we have over here in this Mishnah a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say that the Ketan of Shvius has the status of Shvius, i.e., it's a fruit product, and the Ketaf was Zuhu Piryo. And because the resin coming out, that's its fruit. Man Chachamim lav Rabbanan depliga la de Rabbi Lazar. Now the Chachamim over here are the Chachamim who argue with Rabbi Lazar, and yet they're taking the position that kataf is considered a fruit. And so now this supports what we just argued, that if the only thing the tree is producing is resin, so then the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Eliezer that that is considered a fruit product, subject to the laws of Shemitah, subject to the laws of Arla. If, however, the tree is producing an actual fruit and resin, so then the resin is going to be disregarded, and the resin is not going to be treated like a fruit product. Okay. The certain elder said the following in the name of Rav Yochanan. The Chachamim over here that we just quoted in this Mishnah Shvius is Rav Elazar, who says that the Ketaf is in fact the pri. E Rav Elazar, my ear, ya ilan shein osa pri, afilu ilan haosa pri, ketef azu piryo. So the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. If the author of the anonymous Chachamim of the Mishnah we just quoted is in fact Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that any resin from any tree is considered a food product, a fruit product. And so why over here are we only, the argument the Mishnah just gave is, well, you know, the resin, that's its fruit. What do you mean? Even if the tree has actual fruit, Rabbi Eliezer would say that the resin is considered a fruit. So l'divrechem d'rabban kamar luhu. So the Gemara says like this. Rabbi Eliezer was trying to argue not within his own position, but within the position of the Chachamim. L'didi afilu ilan ha'osa peres nami ketefas v'upriyo. Look, as far as I'm concerned, resin is a fruit product under any and all circumstances. So I'm not espousing my own position. But can't you give me the following? L'didchu odili miyazbi ilan she'en osa peres teketafas v'upriyo. That if the tree is not producing an actual fruit, so can't we say that under those circumstances, can't you agree with me that the resin is considered the fruit? And the counter-argument, the Chachamim say no. We view it very fundamentally. Resin is not a fruit, period. Okay. Let's go a little bit further for today, being that I don't want to leave too much for tomorrow. A couple shorter dapim coming up ahead, but still, let's go on a little bit further. Ezuhi besula koshalo rasa. Okay, we are going back to our mission now. So, after all said and done, we're going back to our mission of the four women who are Mesulakas Damim, and therefore are going to have the status of Dain Shaitan when they have their menstrual cycle. We're not going to go back retroactively and metame them for the last 24 hours. The four women are, going back to the Mishnah on Zayin Amad Aleph, the Besula Mu'uberes Menika Zikena. Now, Besula over here does not mean a virgin. A Besula over here just simply means that she has not experienced her menstrual cycle as of yet. Okay, she hasn't started her menstrual cycle. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, making this point as clearly as possible. Nises, v'rasa dam achmas nisuin. Let's say she gets married, this young girl, and she bleeds, but that's hymenal bleeding. It's her dam basulim that is right now coming out of her, but that's not uterine blood. And yalda, and let's even say that she gave birth. Now, I know. The obvious issue of how could she get pregnant if she, in fact she's not menstruating. I understand that's a, and I'm not here to explain the science of the Gemara, but I certainly am very comfortable explaining the point of the Gemara, and that is that too doesn't count as dam nida. V'rasa dam machmas leida adayin ani kara la besula sharei besula sharamra besulas damim v'lo besulas besulam. The point is that is still considered a besula in our context. Our context is that if a girl has not yet started menstruating, so whatever other blood that comes out of her is not considered menstrual blood. It's not dam nida. It's not going to make her tummy for nida. Okay. The leida obviously is going to make her tummy for having given birth. But and the besulim, the dam besulim is nothing, meaning it's not dam nida, that's not dam leida, it's dam besulim. It's something totally different. Okay. So the idea is that when we say besula, in our context of a woman who is not going to go back 24 hours retroactively with tumah, so it means the basula just simply that she hasn't started menstruating. Eni, the Gemara says, now it's just Truvama, Rav Kahana, Tana Gimma, Basula, saying. Now the Rav Kahana says that there are three things that we're going to call a basula. Basulas Adam, Basulas Karka, Basulas Shikma, Basulas, Basulas Adam, Basulas Karka, Basulas Shikma, period. And the Gemara, and we're going to go through each three, explaining each of the three. Basulas Adam, Kosman Shalom, Nivala. A woman who is a basula is a woman who we call a virgin. Now, Kamina Lakohen Gadol. First of all, it's important to know because Kohen Gadol can only marry Basula. Inam Laksuva Samasayim. And also, when writing the Ksuva for a woman getting married, if she's a Basula, she's going to command a Ksuva of 200 Zuz. Good. Basula's Karka calls Manshalo Ne'evda. And Basula's Karka means a land that was never worked over, never plowed over. Nafkamina Lanachal Eisan. There are times in Halacha where we need to find a Nachal Eisan to perform a particular mitzvah, like Egla Rufa. So there it has to be virgin soil, land that was never plowed. Inam lemeka chomemkar. And also buying and selling. If I claim that I'm selling you land which is basula, I put that as a description of the land. And then after I buy the land, I learn that it was plowed over. And then the argument of the seller is, yeah, but that was only one time. Sale is voided. If the buyer does not want to hold on to the land, he could void the sale because that's not the definition of basula, of karka basula. Basula shikma kozman shalom nixasa. Now basula shikma is a tree that was planted that was not pruned ever. Nafkamina mekach chomemkar. Now as far as nafkaminas are concerned, so one nafkamina would be, again, mekach chomemkar. I'm going to sell you a tree and I'm telling you that it's a basula, and I then subsequently learned that it was in fact pruned. Once again, I could void the sale. Another nafgamina would be kitzitza b'shvius, pruning it during the Shemitah year. Pruning it during the Shemitah year, kidinan, we learned in the Mishnah, and kotzitzim b'sula shikma b'shvius memneishihi avoda. It's considered avoda's karka, it's considered working the land, and so therefore you're not allowed to prune, and even an unpruned tree, a tree that was never pruned before, that can still qualify as avoda. Okay, so the statement of Rav Kahana is that there are three basulas out there. You know what he didn't count as one of the basulas? Our basula. Meaning we're talking about a basula in the context of a woman who didn't menstruate. And so why didn't he count that as number four? V'imisa l'sename ha. So why didn't he count our basula, meaning a basula in the context of a girl who has not yet started menstruating? Because she too is a basula, and that should be a fourth category. The Gemara's got a lot of answers to this, four answers in total. We're going to run through the four answers, and then we'll pick it up tomorrow afterwards. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak ki ketani mi didalei slei shem levai, aval mi didi slei shem levai lo ketani. So the Gemara says, well, of the three that he counted, he was just describing things that are called basula, period. And then I don't have to be any more descriptive. But once I have to attach modifiers on it, so then he wasn't describing that. So over here, Shem Levi, when we're talking about a basula who has not yet started menstruating, you can't just simply say the word basula. You have to say basula's damim. Okay, so that's why it's not counted as one of his three. Number two, Rosh Hashanah Breder of Idi Amar Kikatani Midid Detalim Bemaisa Midid Detalim Bemaisa Lo Ketani. We're talking about things that are going to be changed through an action. A virgin, so she will not be a virgin when she's with a man. The land will not be considered virgin soil once it's worked over. The tree will not be considered a natural unpruned tree until it's actually pruned. In other words, a physical action. The Besul is Damim, that's natural, meaning she's born not menstruating. She's going to start menstruating, but that's not a physical action that's going to be done to her to get her to start menstruating. Not a physical external action being done to her. Everything is natural and internal. So Lokitani, that's the third reason. Number three, Rabbi Chanina Breder of Ika Amar Kikitani Mida De Lo Hadu Labriusa. Mida De Hadu Labriusa Lokitani. When we're using the word basula, we're meaning that something which is in its original natural state and forever changed with an action. So as far as a virgin is concerned, so she is born a virgin, and then the first time she's with a man, she's no longer a virgin. And that remains with her for the rest of her life. Same thing with land. Once it's plowed over once, it's no longer considered virgin soil. It's true regarding a tree. Once it's pruned for the first time, it will always be considered a pruned tree. However, a woman who starts menstruating, but then she's going to stop menstruating. In other words, in the lifespan of a woman, so she's going to go back to the point of no longer menstruating. So that's chozer libriyaso. That's why he didn't count it as one of them. And the fourth answer of the Gemara, Ravina Amar Kikitani Mida De Kapilei Zvini. Mida De Lo Kapilei Zvini Lo Ketani. Fourth answer is that we're talking about something which is monetizable, right? It has a certain value to it. So a woman who's a basula, so that can be monetized, i.e. her ksuva. A land which is virgin also could be monetized. People want virgin soil. Same thing is true regarding a tree that's never been pruned. Over here, when we're talking about a woman who is either started menstruating or not started menstruating, the Gemara right now is trying to argue, well, that's not something that you can monetize. So the Gemara says, well, that's not true. V'lo kapti v'atani Rabbi Chia Omer b'shem k'shem sh'asor yafa li'isa kach damin yafa li'isha. You know, in terms of dough, so you throw in a little yeast and it ferments. In terms of a woman, she starts menstruating, she's fertile. She's going to have children. So in other words, it is valuable. So the Gemara says, v'atani m'shem Rabbi Meir k'l'isha sh'damem merubim banem merubim. So a woman who has a strong menstrual cycle, so she's going to be more fertile and she's going to have more children. So Elaki Kitani Midid the Kapitala Zvina, Midid the Lo Kapitala Zvina Lo Kitani. So the Gemara says everything you're saying is correct, but we're talking about things that are marketable. So regarding a Basula, she is marketable, meaning people are going to look to marry somebody who's a Basula. And again, right, not objectifying, just simply saying that you could see it based on if you're marrying a Ksuva, the Ksuva's, if you're marrying a Basula, the Ksuva's 200, marrying a Basula, the Ksuva's 100. Obviously, it's something which is marketable. And the same thing is true regarding the land and a tree. But over here, yes, it's true in terms of women who's menstruating. Yeah, it'll make her more fertile. And yes, for the husband who wants children and is looking for a woman to help him produce children, yes, it is more desirable. But in terms of marketable, it doesn't really play a factor. Okay. I'll just read the next two lines because it gets us to the two dots. Tana Rabban Ezu Basulas Karko Kosha Mala Rishushin Vein Afra Tichuach. In terms of Basulas Karka, the Gemara quotes a quick brisa telling us how we're going to know. So the Mala Rishushim, if stones are coming out of the ground, and Ein Afra Tichuach, and the land is not soft, so that is Basulas Karka. In other words, those are telltale signs that the land has never been worked before. Nimsa b'cheres, if let's say you find earthenware pottery, shards of pottery in the land, b'yaduash ne'evda sunama. So at this point in time, you know that a plow went through it. Harizeh, cheres b'yaduash ne'evda sunama, you know that it was worked. Tsunama, sorry, I put the comma in the wrong place. If you find large rocks underneath, harizeh b'sulas karka. That's b'sulas karka. Okay, so just ways of identifying whether the land is considered virgin soil or not considered virgin soil. Okay, we'll stop over here.